All right, you're on.
Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew McGarry. All
right. Why don't you take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. Yeah.
Nehemiah.
Yeah, Nehemiah. It's about 2-3 books before Psalms, so.
Oh, you stole my verse, man.
I did. Nehemiah chapter 8. And what I wanted to kind of go over today was joy. What joy is, what God thinks of joy, how important it is to a believer, and then Jesus Christ's concerns about joy, and is very concerned that your joy may be full. And so we're just going to go into this, touch on these subjects, and then we'll see what the Word has to say about this. Right? So in Nehemiah chapter 8, let's read verse 10. And then it says here, it says, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, yeah, drink the sweet, yeah. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. So your neighbor, if he doesn't have steak, invite him over. You know, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your what?
Strength.
Strength. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. So the joy of your Lord of the Lord is your strength. You hear that all the time. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You guys know that song, right? And so, let's see a couple other things about joy. 1 John chapter 1. And in 1 John chapter 1, it says in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you," and he's talking about the Word, which he saw and heard, and Jesus Christ, which he saw and heard, "we declare unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you that your joy may be what?
Full.
Go to John chapter 15. Keep your finger here, we're going to come back. So, God in His Word is very important, is very concerned with joy, you know, that your joy might be full, as He's writing that section in 1 John, right? And so in John 15, verse 11, let's see this again. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be what?
Full."
Go to 16, verse 24, next page over. "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name," verse 24, "ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be what?
Full.
All right, let's go another page. John 17, verse 13. "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." So, now, John 15, 16, and 17, these are the last days of Jesus Christ's life before he gets crucified. This is like nice on 12 through 14, I think. And he's hammering a certain point home. He keeps pointing at joy, that your joy might be full, that your joy might be full. So joy is very important to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, how does our joy become full? Well, let's look. Go back to 1 John chapter 4. Or 1 John chapter 1, sorry. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, or we'll take it from verse 3 again. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now he's got a message here. And the point of the message is so that their joy would be full. And the point of that message is that they would enter into fellowship one with another, and truly fellowship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the section here. And so what's this message, that our joy might be full? How do we, what is it that he wants us to know? Verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him," if I concede that I have a very deep and intimate fellowship with God, "but walk in darkness," walk in a way that's not necessarily in line with God and his light, "we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Imagine that. When you walk in the light, you have fellowship with one another. And fellowship with God and his son, Jesus Christ. We saw that in verse 3. And so that, and remember, he writes these things so that your joy may be full, right? So the idea here is not punishment. It's not condemnation. The idea here is not to slap you across the face if you've stumbled at some point. The idea here is to give you a prerogative, to give you instruction, to give you guidance and wisdom so that your joy may be full. Let's go to John chapter 15. See other ways that our joy might be full. John 15, verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, this is Jesus Christ talking, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide, stay in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So we keep his commandments so that our joy is full. Why? And what is his commandment? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So a great way to keep your joyful and to be joyful is to love your brothers and sisters like Christ loves us. You know, he's there, his open arms. He gives the word, you know. He prays with you, you know. He's accessible, you know, when in his dealings with while he was alive with his apostles and his disciples. And he gave us an example of love for us to follow so that we can follow in that example, that we can love each other like Christ loves, and that our joy might be full, and that their joy might be full. Let's go to John 16. John 16, verse 24 says, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be what? Full. This is a cool one because you know what really gives you fullness of joy? Answered prayer. Right? Isn't that true? You know, in the book of James it says, you know, we have not because we ask not. You know? And then you ask and you still cannot obtain because you ask for to consume it upon your lust. So you're asking from a wrong heart just to consume it in pride. But when you do it right and you do it in joy, when you're thinking about God and you ask in the name of Jesus Christ, he tells us to ask so that we can receive what our request is so that our joy might be full. Isn't that amazing? He's saying, come up, doors open, come to me, ask me. In fact, I was thinking of this while we were singing that Good, Good Father song. You know, there's a verse in there, which is from a verse in the Bible where it talks about, you know, he knows what we have need of before we ask. That's in Matthew 6, I believe. For your Father knoweth what you have need of before you ask. But he still asks you to ask. Now, why does he ask you to ask? Because he wants you to come to him in relationship. He wants you to pray to him so that he can provide it in a way that only he can and that your joy might be full. You know, when I pray for something and I ask God for a certain request, he gives me that request when it's according to his will. And I am benefited thereby, but also I'm very thankful. And of course, your joy becomes full that way. Let's go John 17. In John 17, verse 13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. Now, what is the fulfillment of joy here? Giving the word. Jesus Christ says that my joy might be in them, and they might have fullness of joy. I have given them your word, Father. And the world has hated them, but they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, meaning set them apart by your truth. What is God's truth? Thy word is truth. So how do you have fullness of joy here in this section? The word. The word brings fullness of joy. Now, why is joy important, though? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 18. The joy of the Lord brings strength. In fact, go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verses 6 through 8, we'll read. It says, "When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. My soul follows hard after thee, thy right hand upholds me." The psalmist here is saying, in the shadow of his wings will I rejoice. And that word shadow in the Hebrew is also rendered secret or hidden. If you've heard about the secret place, God tells you, go to your secret place, your closet. In fact, that's the same section of Matthew 6 where he says, I know what you have need of before you ask of me. But here the psalmist is going to God in alone time. He's going to God, he's saying, in the shadow of your wings, upon my bed I meditate to you, and I rejoice in you. I bring to memory the things that you have done to me. I bring to memory the truths of your word, the accomplishment of your son Jesus Christ, the truths therein. And it makes me rejoice. And there's an interesting thing here, because I've found that when I have applied this in my life, when I separate myself, much like Jesus Christ did, and a lot of times he would do something big and then he would separate himself and just go spend time with God in prayer alone. When I do that and I rejoice with God and I just thank him, really, for what he's done, the truths in his word, the accomplishment of his son Jesus Christ, I feel like my heart expanding. I feel my expectation in him grows. My confidence starts to get bolstered because I'm thinking like this. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Father, thank you for making me a joint heir in Christ. Dad, for my phone not ringing while I'm teaching. Dad, I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you for the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, which has cleansed me and made me whole. I am your son now. I belong to you. You have free reign to take care of me, to protect and preserve me in your ways. You want to raise your kid? Thank you. These are all things in the scripture. And then I move on to things that he's done for me personally in my life. Father, thank you for my wife. Father, thank you for that one time when we were in the hospital and we couldn't figure out what was wrong with Jessica. And then all of a sudden the doctor said she had a brain tumor and the adrenal network was shutting down in her body. Thank you for healing her in the name of Jesus Christ and what you did to completely deliver her, and she got completely healed. You know what that does? Do you hear what I'm saying right now? And then all of a sudden, your expectation from God is starting to expand. All of a sudden, your confidence in God is starting to get bolstered. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you rejoice with him in the secret place, when you pray with him, man, your heart starts to get full, and you're just there alone with him, with God, just going, thank you, Father, for everything that you have done, for the word, for the magnification of it in my life. Thank you for that you are continuing to raise me as your child, and I might not have apprehended it yet. I'm not fully there yet, but thank God I've left. I have not arrived yet, but thank God I've left. And thank you for raising me as your kid. You can start to see why thinking like that, while rejoicing with God and doing that in your alone time with him, starts to strengthen you. Huh? Doesn't it? It makes sense, right? And that's why God's saying, I don't know what you have need of before you ask, but come to me. Come to me in the secret place, in the shadow of my wings, in the secret of my sanctuary, just you and me alone. Let's hang out one together. Pray. Think about the things I've done in your life. Think about my word. Think about the promises that I've given you for you to have your joy fulfilled. And walk in the light as I am in the light. Pray so that I can answer those prayers, that your joy might be full. And love one another like Christ is loved, and your joy is going to be full. And when your joy is full in him and you're rejoicing in him truly, your heart is recognizing how great, how awesome, the magnitude of his wonderful works, how much he loves you, all of a sudden you find yourself stronger in his ways. It's amazing how he does that, huh? Yeah. The world will try to promote a different way for your joy to be full. That's why the commercials are always like, sex and drugs and drunkenness. Really what they're trying to do is they're trying to throw up a counterfeit. If you're a young man, party your little behind off, get drunk all the time. And it's like kids to go and just sleep around with all the women. But that's okay, because that's going to satisfy your soul. That's going to make you joyful. That's the systems of this world. That's just kind of like how the counterfeit is placed up. But God says, only I can satisfy. Only my word satisfies. And you come to me, and I will satisfy your soul. And I'll strengthen you. Think about Hebrews. Actually, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. You know, if I spend time with Aaron, just me and Aaron having coffee, and we really connect in the morning, you know, we just really connect, have a great time, we fellowship, and then I leave that instance from when we just hung out, if we really connected and it was really strong, he comes back to mind throughout all the day. That's the same thing with God. You're getting with him alone, and you're really connecting, you're going to his word, you're praying, you're rejoicing in him, he will come back to mind. It will affect the things that you do outside of that time. Because you got to work, you got to do things, you got responsibilities, and you take them with you when you go, right? Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 12. And this really, to me, kind of slams home the importance of joy in a believer's life. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience and endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the what?
Joy
that was set before him endured the cross. What strengthens a man to run his course for God? In the face of extreme adversity, with full endurance, steadfastly in faith to the accomplishment, to the full accomplishment of the work. What gives a man a constitution to be steadfast in the most extreme of circumstances? Joy. Joy does it. When Jesus Christ was having a hard time in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ has the word. Jesus Christ has a relationship with the Father. God sets the joy before him, and because of that joy, he's able to run his race, finish his work. Isn't that amazing? And what fulfills the joy in a believer's life? Thy word. Sanctify them by thy truth. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13, and this is a record in the midst of a controversial time in Israel and Judah's history, but still a very cool verse. Isaiah 13:3 says, I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have commanded them. I've given them my commandments, and I've set them apart by them. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger. This is, at this time, there was much controversy and war breaking out. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. He calls the ones that rejoice in him his mighty ones. Them who are rejoicing in him. And when we're going to the secret place and we're rejoicing in God and we're going to his word and we're putting our hearts and our minds into it, we are following many other principles in the word. Meditating on God's word, meditating on his righteousness, his goodness, you know. And these are all just parts that you are applying in your life when you are rejoicing in him. And another verse, but I forgot where it was. Let's go to Psalm 13. And we'll close soon. Because some of you know the song, I will magnify his word. I will magnify his word. I will never be ashamed. Let us magnify the name of the Lord. That's what you're doing when you're rejoicing in him. To magnify something is to make it bigger in your eyes. That's really what it means. And when the word of God is bigger in your eyes and his promises are bigger in your eyes and his love is bigger in your eyes than the troubling circumstance that you might be facing, then you aren't a place where your scope of the situation is healthy. You could say, you know, I'm having a hard time at work, or I'm having relational problems with my marriage, or, you know, insert blank. But when you place that at the backdrop of God's promises and his goodness and his word and his love toward you, you get to go, oh man, well, if he gave his only son to die for me, that I could be his very own, and that he could love me, and that I could go to him for wisdom and direction and go to his words, well, whatever the circumstances, we'll be all right, because my God is a faithful God. So it gives whatever the troubling circumstance is its proper scope in all these things. Psalm 13, verse 5 and 6 says, But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And God has indeed dealt bountifully with us. I like to rejoice in what God has done through his word, because I always have his word, and they are deep, and they are living, and don't come back void. I like to etch them on the table of my heart when I spend alone time with him. I recommend that you do too. But I also like to rejoice in what he's done for me personally, like healing my wife Jessica, like providing me with wonderful family and friends, of which you are a part, placing us in a wonderful family, and just being like, thank you, Father, for all these things. When you do that, you find that the kind of the periscope of your heart, if you know what I'm talking about, like that the lens from which you see out of becomes clear, because the joy of the Lord is living and real in you. And when you are rejoicing in him, he has that availability. You're now in a place where your expectation is expanded, your confidence is bolstered in him, your sensitivity to him is higher, and he can get to work, working in you and strengthening you, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, when I get to that point, after I spent some time alone with him, I have the joy of the Lord in me, and I'm just pretty much marveling, in awe of just how good God is and how wonderful he is. Next thing I do, I go right to his word. And Psalm, goodness, where's my note? Stay in the book of Psalms. We already went to Psalm 63. Well, you know the psalm. I know you know it. It's the psalm that says, I rejoice, I have joy at thy word, like one that finds great spoil. Right? Great treasure. When you're in that place with him and you go to the word, it's like, whoa! It's like turning the pages. It's like, this is the best thing ever. And you just, you know, and you rejoice at, why? Because it's his word. Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that's how your joy is fulfilled. And I'll go ahead. I could honestly say a whole bunch more stuff, but I think this is a good place to end here. Let's go to Psalm 62. Go to Psalm 62. Oh, sorry. Psalm 28. Psalm 28, verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. One of the reasons I like to play music, honestly, it's kind of cheating, but one of the reasons I really like playing music is because I get to yell the praises of God at the highest volume of my voice. That's really why I like to sing at one point. Let's go to Hebrews 12 and we'll end here. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, these are the wonderful, gigantic believers that came before us, you know, Elijah, Moses, all these really crazy guys. That's all in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, hall of faith. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, what is that talking about? That's talking about walking in the light as he is in the light. Lay aside the sin that easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So this is a racing, it's a runner's metaphor. You know, what walking in darkness does is it easily besets, takes you off your course that you're running. And what does walking in darkness do? It adds weight. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets. Let's walk in the light. And now when you're weight free and the sin is set aside, what can you do? You can run. You can run really well without being impeded, without being ensnared, without tripping up, without stumbling. With patience, the race that is set before us, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So what strengthens a man in order to run his course, to run well, to fight temptation, to have endurance, and to fight fatigue and weariness of mind, as it says in verse 3? Joy. Joy does that. Joy in God's word. Joy in God's promises. Joy in God's works that he's done in your personal life. Joy in Jesus Christ. And walking in the light as he is in the light, loving one another and sitting in his word, that your joy may be full. And the last thing I want to hit, I'm so thankful I remembered, is 3 John 1. When you apply these things in your life from your heart, you know, because, you know, not just going to God out of religious ritual, out of rote, you know, out of just like doing a checklist, you know, just really, God, man, I remember when you did that for me. I remember your son, Jesus Christ, and your works and your hands are mighty. That's awesome. When your heart truly recognizes that what you're doing is you're walking in truth and your joy is full. But one awesome benefit of this all, and I think this might be the greatest benefit, is 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in what?
Truth.
You bring God joy. Oh, man, isn't that good? Yeah. Isn't that awesome? You bring God joy when you walk in truth. And you got like this super joy highway between you two. You guys are just riding and you're going in circles. And it's just the greatest time ever, you know? You bring him joy when you walk in truth. And all he wants to do is bring you joy. And when that relationship is set and you're in the word and you're rejoicing at the works of his hands, man, and your eyes are illuminated, your heart is illuminated, you are expanded in your expectation of what he can do in your life. You are expanded in your confidence of what he's going to do. You know you're going to be all right. And so joy is good. All right. That's what I wanted to share in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Andrew.